Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Love Handles 2. And this week, Pastor Josh Finkley explains how to acknowledge the truth and receive grace. Enjoy the message.
Good. Hey, I'm glad you guys are here. Welcome to The Rock, all right? And let me just say this. Happy Valentine's Day, okay? Just happy Valentine's Day. If you're sitting next to your Valentine, go ahead and kiss her, all right? And if you're single, you better ask first, okay? I'll just help you with that a little bit, all right? So, hey, we're really glad you guys are with us today. And you might be new with us here in Conway. And if that is the case, I want to welcome you here and just thank you for being here and being part of the church today. I do encourage you, if you're new in Conway, stop by the Connect Corner. We'd love just to meet you and give you a free gift after service. If you're watching online, or maybe you're watching on demand, then you can use this little QR code right there. That is our digital Connect Corner, and we would love to connect with you further. We'd love to send you a gift and stuff like that. So if you're online now, you can do that. If you're on demand later, you can do that as well, all right? So today, we're talking about Valentine's Day, and I picked a great day for this series because we're talking about love handles, and inside of love handles, today we're talking about sex, okay? So again, this is a reminder that we're going to hit that topic, all right? And if you want to check out Kids Rock, you can. If you want to stick around, you can. It's going to be good, and it's an opportunity for me to talk to those of you who are married. It's a great day for you, for us to have a conversation. But I want you to also know this. There's a lot of you who are single in here. You need to listen as well, because today it's for you. Because there's some things I want to communicate as we talk about this. Things that if I can just say it this way, I want to be able to talk today as your preacher and as your father. Like, if you'll just allow me to for a second. Those of you who are my age, let me just be your preacher, okay? But those of you who are younger, let me talk to you as a dad for a second. As a dad who cares. Because I really want us to hit this topic because the entire world is talking about sex. Like, you can't watch a commercial, you can't watch a movie, you can't listen to the radio, you can't jump online without some type of sex being mentioned inside of the conversation, unless it's like a little kid show, all right? But outside of that, it's all around us. And if that's the case, I want to make sure that we're talking about it here at church. Because if other people are talking about it, then I want to make sure at church we're talking about it so we can see, well, what does God have to say about sex? What does God have to say about relationships? And again, if you're married, great, it's going to help you. If you're older and single, it's going to help you. If you're younger and single, let's say you're a teenager, let's say you're a young adult, then this is a message for you that I want to share, like I said, as a dad. All right. And what that means is I want us to be able to ask questions. That with this message, I want you to be able to ask questions. And I know I'm going to hog the conversation, but we have put this question corner on the screen. And if you're online or on demand, you can use that QR code. If you're here in Conway or online, it doesn't matter, you can use the Rock app. All you got to do is pull up the Rock app, and it says Love Handles. Click it, and you can ask a question. And ask any question you want. All right? And at the end of every service, I've answered different questions. So as questions come in throughout the day, I'll come back up at the end of the service and answer as many questions as time allows. And they are, you won't be putting your name in or anything like that, but I want you to be able to ask. And I want you to know that as we're having this conversation, I'm going to base the whole conversation off of truth and grace. I don't know if you were here last week or not, so let me rewind just a second. That last week I talked about this exercise apparatus, okay? And we talked about the only way this exercise apparatus works is if you pull against both handles. That if I just pull my left arm, it does nothing. If I just pull my right arm, it does nothing, all right? And in the same way in this conversation, I want us to look at it this way, that we got to look at one side as truth. We got to look at another side as grace. And today, as we're talking about sex, I'm going to share truth and grace. Because if I only share truth, then all I do is hurt you, all right? If I only share truth, I don't help you, I hurt you. If I only share grace, I don't help you, I hurt you. But if I'm willing to share truth and grace from a position of love, well, that's where we can grow. And I'm wanting to share it with everybody. And understand, I know it's a tough conversation. But as I'm having this, I want you to think about it. You all are staring at me. So think about that. And worse than that, I have a daughter in a room and a mom online, okay? So think about it that way, that I'm sharing it this way. So we can enter into this conversation and we can talk about truth and grace as we talk about sex. And we're gonna do it by looking at what the Corinthian church had to say about sex, because they were asking questions. The Corinthian church was asking, well, who can I have sex with? Like, when can I have sex? Where can I have sex? How can I have sex? They were asking all those questions. So I want us to try to answer those questions by talking about the truth at first. I'll get into the grace side towards the end of the message, but let's just talk about truth for a second. And this is probably the easiest way I want to share it with you, that I want us to talk about the truth of sex by talking about moral sex, maintenance sex, and more sex. Thank you, okay? I will. You probably need to go sit by your wife, okay? But when I say that, some of you are like, maintenance sex? What in the world is that? I'll get there, okay? Just hold it for a while. I'll get there. But let's talk at first about moral sex. Moral, if you just look in the dictionary, moral means right or to do what is right. Immoral would be to, you could call it wrong or to do what is wrong. And when it comes to sex, there's a right way to go about sex and there's a wrong way to go about sex. And people will have different opinions on this. I know that. But what I want to do is I just want to go to God's word. I want to see what are God's thoughts on this. That other people might say other things, but I just want to find out what does God say about sex, especially about moral sex. And what does it mean to have sex in a right way? And if we'll look at Scripture, what it says throughout Scripture is that sex was designed for a man and woman inside the confines of marriage. That's the way God designed it. All right? And again, I know that not everybody will say that, not everybody will agree with that, but if you look at the totality of Scripture, I mean, you can go from Genesis all the way through the New Testament, and we'll see how God shows that in action. That you go to the book of Genesis, and you'll see that Adam and Eve were created in the garden. And when God created Adam, as in Genesis chapter 2, we see that Adam was created, and then out of Adam, he made woman out of his side, out of his rib, and then he put him in the garden, and they were standing there, and they were naked, and God looked at him, and he said, "This is very good." And you know what Adam said? Actually, what Adam said when he looked at Eve, who was naked, he went, "Whoa." Like literally. That's the reason we say woman. It's because in the Hebrew, he said, "Whoa," like, "Whoa." And then God looked at him, he said, "Man, woman, you are one flesh. You are married, so be fruitful and multiply." And that's all he said. And you know what? Adam didn't look for an instruction manual. He looked at his wife and he said, "I think we can figure this out." Right? I mean, that's where it goes from there. And we see that they entered into this relationship. And then from that point forward, we see throughout Scripture, we see that Abraham and Sarah, a man and woman in marriage, and God blessed it. We can see that Solomon with his first wife inside the Song of Songs. I mean, you just see the beauty of it. You see Jesus speaking about it. You see Paul speaking about it. Every time you see it through Scripture, you see a blessing of God. And anytime it was outside of those means, we see consequences. See, Abraham had a great relationship with his wife Sarah, but then he ended up sleeping with a girl named Hagar, and when he did that, consequences. That Solomon had a great relationship with his wife, but then he got multiple wives, consequences. That David ended up sleeping with Bathsheba, consequences. That all through Scripture, anytime it was taken outside of that original design, you see consequences. So moral sex is doing sex the way God says. And when you do it that way, understand this, it is a gift. It's a gift of God. And I know some of you are married and you're like, yes, it is, okay? So your question might be, if it is a gift, how can I make sure inside of my marriage that we're doing it right? That you might be saying, I want to make sure that we do this right. And I know you ask questions about it. And I know that because I've been asked questions. My friend Trevor, he's a preacher in Ohio, and we were talking about this message through texting because I knew he preached one very similar to it about a year ago. And we were talking about, yeah, people ask weird questions. I remember one time I had a lady, she was in her 70s, okay? And she came up to me at the end of services at my last church, and she said, Josh, I got to ask you a question. And I'm not going to tell you what she asked me. But when she asked me, like, I blushed. Like, I was like, and she goes, is it okay to ask? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, imagery, get out. You know what I mean? Get out of my head. Weird questions. I was sharing this with Trevor. He goes, oh, yeah. Well, I have some people, they ask me some weird questions. He goes, the weirdest one I had is he had a couple come up to him at church and say, Trevor, is it okay that while we have sex, we listen to worship music? And immediately he's like, whoa. So what are you thinking about when we're singing songs? You know what I mean? And then he goes, and besides that, like, what songs are they listening to? He's like, Shout to the Lord, Indescribable, hopefully not I Can Only Imagine, okay? Right? You know what I mean? Like it's just like one of those moments. He's like, yeah, weird questions. And I know you ask questions like, what can we do? Well, listen, like inside of marriage, sex is a gift from God, so enjoy it. Enjoy it in your bedroom. Enjoy it on the kitchen table. Enjoy it however you want. Because it is a gift of God. I love y'all. Some of y'all are like right now, so my preacher just really say that. But here's the reality. It is. But here's how the question always comes. And I know where it's coming from. Is what can we do and what shouldn't we do? And Scripture answers that. That's the beauty. Scripture says, inside of marriage, as long as it doesn't violate God's word or your spouse, then enjoy. Inside of marriage, that as long as it doesn't violate God's word or your spouse, enjoy it. For instance, somebody asked me once, like, can we use porn to spice up our sex life? No, because that violates God's word. Can we use handcuffs? I don't care. Does your spouse like that? Like, if it doesn't violate God's word or violate your spouse, and I'm going to hit the violate your spouse on a different text in a little bit, but inside of marriage, then it's acceptable. But our problem is, it's not just with moral sex, all right? Like I don't want us to have a problem with that. I think our problem comes in is when we have immoral sex. That if we're honest, like in our culture, that's what many of us deal with. Many single people right now, that's what you're dealing with is how do I walk this out, either personally or with my friends or whatever, is this immoral sex idea. Because there's a right way and there is a wrong way. And that's what the Corinthian church was dealing with. That Paul said, you guys are dealing with this sex issue because there's so much immorality, so much wrongness, if I can say it that way, when it comes to sex in your culture. Look at it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. He says, now in response to the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. And he's saying that because last week, if you're here, he talked about the gift of singleness versus the gift of marriage, all right? And then he says, but because of sexual immorality is so common, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman should have sexual relations with her own husband. That what he's saying is there's a lot of immorality going on around you. And in the Corinthian church, this was a real deal. The Corinthian church was a hub of trade. The city of Corinth was a hub of trade. The city of Corinth was known for alcohol and sex. Like, that's what it was known for. On the sex side, they had a temple set up to worship Aphrodite, who was a false god of sexuality. And in Aphrodite's temple, there would be 1,000 prostitutes every day. That sex was just all through their culture, just like it is today in our culture. And we hear people all the time say, man, it's just so bad today. It's worse than it's ever been before. No. The same things we're dealing with now, they were dealing with 2,000 years ago in Corinth. And the things we're dealing with now, Paul talked about 2,000 years ago in Corinth. Because he doesn't just say, mention sexual immorality. He helps us understand what is wrong sex. That's what he does. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He reads it like this. And let me just say this before I start this scripture. This is a tough scripture. This is a hard scripture. I think the hardest part of this scripture is the first sentence and the last sentence. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? I want you to think about that for a second. Those who do wrong won't inherit the kingdom of God. And my guess is you're like me. You've done some wrong things before. Anybody willing to admit that you've done anything wrong ever? All of us, right? So when you read this verse, you're like, whoa, 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 don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Like, we've all done wrong. And he goes on, he says, don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheap people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So is there any hope? Because chances are you could look at that list of sins and say, well, I've done at least one of those. Is there any hope? There is. We'll get to that in a moment. Hold on. Don't give up yet. But what I want you to do right now is I want you to look at a list of sexual sins that he makes. Because we'll often ask ourselves, well, what is sexual sin? What is immoral sin? Okay, or immoral sex, all right? And Paul lists it for us right there. He says, don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin, who worship idols, commit adultery, are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality. That he puts it right there. He says, let me list out for you some sexual sins. And I know when you read that, you're like, whoa, 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 sexual sin, okay, worship idols? That's not a sexual sin. Well, yes, it is in that context, it especially is. Because in that context, what he is doing there is he's saying, listen, you live in Corinth and you worship a false god, Aphrodite, the sexual god, and you've started to idolize sex. And you've idolized your body being able to do what you want sexually. And if we're honest, we are no different. That today, 2021, we have idolized sex and sexuality. And we've made it an idol. And we can go through the rest of it. Those things happen as well. That we could talk about adultery, stepping outside of your marriage. You could talk about male prostitution and prostitution that happens today. You could talk about homosexuality. That they're all sins. None of them are worse than the other. They're all sins. That happened today. The prostitution is one that you go, well, is that one still happening today? Absolutely. Probably more so than it ever has. I know it's hard to say it that way since I just said it was bad back then too, but think about it. I want to say it this way, that anytime you look at porn, you are participating in prostitution. Like, I don't know if you realize that. And statistically, 75% of people look at porn. So anytime we look at porn, what you're doing is you're practicing prostitution. Because prostitution is paying somebody for sex or for sexual pleasure. And when you jump into pornography, what you're doing that. And you might say, well, I don't pay for it. I go to the free sites. Okay? Well, somebody's paying for it. Somebody's buying an advertisement there. So you're participating in prostitution, and you're participating in the sex trade, you're participating in children being sold in sex trade. You see what I'm getting at? Like, we are guilty. And because of that, because of all those bank of sins, and because of the consequence of it, we need to run. We've got to run. The next verse says it this way. Run from sexual sin. Run from it. Flee from it. No other sin clearly affects the body as this does. This one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Run from it. I think about that when I think about student ministry and how many years I spent just teaching just students. I remember talking about that verse so many times. Run from it. Because sexual sin is a sin against your own body. It's a sin against God. But I want you to hear this. It's a sin against your own body. Because what you end up doing is... Can you clear that off there, please? What you end up doing is when you sin sexually, you hurt your body. And when I say you hurt your body, what I mean by that is you hurt your physical body, your emotional body, and your spiritual body. I mean, every time you engage in some type of sexual experience with somebody, then you're engaging physically. And when you engage physically, there's a physical part that happens, and it can affect your body physically. It happens emotionally, that when you encounter some kind of sexual experience with somebody, you are giving up your emotions, that you are giving up your emotions to somebody, and whether that's a relationship that's going to last or it's one that doesn't, you leave emotions with them, and you hurt yourself emotionally. And again, inside of marriage, that's okay because you're one flesh. Outside of marriage, you're giving emotions to somebody that you're not married to, that you're not supposed to be one flesh with. And spiritually, that our body was created as an act of worship of God. We are in the image of God, and we are created to worship God with our bodies. So when we give away our bodies sexually, what we're doing is we're using it in a way that God didn't design it. So we're taking away glory from Him. We're losing our identity of our connection with God. So flee from sexual immorality because it is a trap of Satan. Can I just say it that way? It's a trap of Satan. Moral sex is a gift of God. Immoral sex is a trap of Satan. So flee from it. Flee from immoral sex. All right, now, let me go back to what I started with at the beginning. That we said, well, there's moral sex, and then there's also maintenance sex. And when I talk about maintenance sex or more sex, I am now talking to those of you who are married, or for those of you who are single, what you should think about when you get married, all right? But you can't do maintenance sex if it's immoral, all right? That maintenance sex only happens inside of moral sex. And I know right now I'm saying that, you're like, what in the world is maintenance sex? Let me help you just a little bit, just curious. How many of you in here either own a vehicle or drive a car? Just go ahead and raise your hand, all right? Then you should get this, because this is what I know about vehicles, that if you never maintain your car, you're going to find some trouble down the road, right? Like if you don't ever change your oil, if you don't ever rotate the tires, if you don't ever go in and get the fluids topped off, if you don't maintain your car, at some point, it's going to break. And when that car breaks and you go to your mechanic, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, and it's going to cost you a lot of money, right? Maintenance sex is the same thing, okay? Here's what I mean, that if you never have sex inside of your marriage, then it's going to lead you to a point where everything's going to break down at some point. That you have to have sex inside the marriage just to maintain the marriage. I should get a couple amens on that, okay? But a step further, okay? Because if you don't, then you're putting yourself in trouble, and it's going to cost you down the road. It's going to cost you. So some of you guys, you just, every now and then, you got to look at your wife and say, hey, the check engine light's on. I need to come in for some maintenance, okay? And some of you ladies might say, 10-minute oil change only, okay? But you have to maintain. And if not, what you end up doing is you give Satan room in your marriage. And I don't think anybody wants Satan in your marriage. See, Scripture says it that way. It says, Let me see if I can get the right scripture up there. It says, do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so that you can give yourself completely to prayer. Afterwards, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You see it? That if we do not have sex inside of marriage, then Satan can come in and he can get a foothold. He can come in and he can bring division into your marriage. Guys, I can't begin to tell you how many times I've had counseling appointments with people. And they're like, yeah, I stepped outside of my marriage. I did it because I wasn't being fulfilled at home. So I stepped out so that I could have sex with somebody else. Or they'll say like, yeah, I wasn't being emotionally taken care of at home. So I was on Facebook. I had a conversation with somebody. It led to something else. So then I stepped outside of my marriage because at home, my spouse wasn't satisfying my needs. All right. Now, I hear that all the time. Now, let me first say this. That's a sin to step outside of your marriage. That would be immoral sex. That's not an excuse, and you can't use it as an excuse. But if you're married, why would you ever want to give somebody even the opportunity for the excuse? Why would you want Satan to be able to come in and to rob your marriage of the unity that you have? Don't give Satan a foothold, but come together as a married couple in the form of maintenance sex, but also in the form of more sex. That's the easiest way for me to say it. It says it this way. It says the husband should fulfill the wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. That you should take care of one another. The next verse says it this way. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. That my body is not my own. Now, again, I got to go back to the beginning. You can't violate your spouse. It has to be something that they enjoy and stuff like that. You cannot violate, even if you say, well, your body is actually my body. No, there's still an act of love where you cannot violate. We got to make sure of that. But then from that, what we do is we serve one another. From that point, the next thing we do is we serve one another. Remember, last week I said marriage is an act of service. So when it comes to sex, what you're actually doing is serving one another in a sexual way. That you're taking care of one another's needs. That you're blessing one another. That you're loving one another. Which means, guys, sometimes she wants to be romanced. She doesn't want maintenance sex. She wants more sex her way. And she wants some music. She wants some candles. She wants a back rub. She wants some of that kind of thing, okay? See, some of you guys, you just think like Zion Williamson rather than LeBron James. I know, I probably shouldn't have gone there. I'm going to confuse you. If you don't know Zion and LeBron, they're NBA basketball players. And Zion Williamson is a phenomenal basketball player from South Carolina, phenomenal basketball player. But I don't know if you know this about Zion. He's got one move only. He can dunk the ball. That's all he can do. He can dunk. LeBron? Oh, LeBron can pass, he can rebound, he can shoot the three, he can dunk, he can alley-oop. He's got all kinds of moves. Some of you guys need to be a little bit more like LeBron and help your wife out a little bit. Okay? Enough of that. I'm blushing. But what I'm trying to say is, you satisfy one another. Here's the easiest way for me to say it. When it comes to marriage, you should have the perfect amount of sex. And by what I mean by perfect is, as a married couple, you determine that. Because I simply want to satisfy my wife's needs. Ladies, you want to satisfy your husband's needs. The perfect amount. And whatever that is mutually discussed and determined inside of marriage, enjoy that. Because sex is a gift from God when it's done in a moral way. But if we're honest, many of us, we've messed that up. And that's why we got to rely on grace. Remember, if we go back to this illustration, that so far I've given you a lot of truth, but I need you to also hear about grace. because I know many of you have messed up in this area. That you'd say, man, I've been immoral when it comes to sex, that I've sinned, that I've looked at things, I've done things, I haven't done things right. Maybe as a married couple, that you've allowed some sin to come in. And you're just like, man, I hear the truth, but I need grace. I need grace because I've messed up. For some of y'all, you need grace because you're just young in your marriage. And you're doing it right. That you made a decision to say, we're going to wait till marriage and we're going to follow God's plan. And you're young in your marriage and you're trying to figure it out. Here's the beautiful thing. Give grace to one another. Because you're going to be married for the rest of your life. You get a lot of time to figure it out. You get a lot of practice. Some of you have been married for a long time. And your sexual needs aren't maybe what they were when you were younger. Give grace to one another. Some of you need to give grace to yourself. Because you have made some mistakes in this area. And you're just sitting there going, have I screwed it up? Have I messed it all up? Give grace to yourself. But I really think probably the only way you're going to be able to give grace to yourself is if you find grace from God. Because see, this is what I know, that for many of us, we step into sin. We step into this immoral way of doing sex because we're looking for something. We're trying to find fulfillment. We're trying to find an identity. We're trying to find some worth. So we'll step into sin and we'll do something sexually with somebody. And then when we step away from it, we feel worse than we did when we did it. But there's something in us going, now I feel even worse. So maybe if I do it again, I'll figure it out. And we step in and we just keep feeling worse and worse and worse. Because you're trying to find your identity in the wrong place. And because you stepped into that sin, and now when you step back, you feel worthless. But I want you to know, to Christ, you are not worthless. That you are worthy of Him paying a high price. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20 says that He bought you with a high price. Says you do not belong to yourself. See, we often think we belong to ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. That it's not my body. It's not my way. It's not what I want to do. No, I was bought. I was purchased. Look at it. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you. And He bought you with a high price. Like He didn't stick a nickel in a gumball machine and say, yep, that's good. No, He paid for you with a high price. That He saw the truth of our situation. He saw the fact that we could not inherit the kingdom of God because of the sin in our life, whether that's a sexual sin or some other kind of sin. And He came to this earth. He came down as a man. And He went to a cross. And He gave us His grace. And He died and He rose from the dead. He purchased us with a high price. And the high price was Himself. He said, you matter so much to me, I'm willing to die. So you're not worthless. You are of great worth. And I want you to realize that today. That the grace shows us the truth. That we are all of great worth to God. So come to Him. Because Him doing that, He makes it possible for us to be forgiven. But the truth is, we got to go to Him now. And when we go to Him, look at this next verse. It says this. It says, some of you were once like that, meaning you were in your sins, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you were, look at the words there, that you were washed. That I feel dirty because of my past. Or I feel dirty because of my present. You can be washed. That you can be set apart. You can be made holy. That what that means is Jesus is saying, they are mine. They're all mine. And they can be made right with God. Meaning you can be made right with God. You can be in a right relationship with Him. If we simply call on His name. So that's what I want us to do right now, is I want us to call on His name. I want us to call on the name of God. come before him. Maybe that's coming up just as a single person and taking communion and saying, Jesus, I just want to call on you. I want to thank you for purchasing my soul. Now help me to do what is right. Maybe you want to get down on your knees and say, God, I've been doing some wrong things. Help me to do what is right. Maybe you're a couple and you haven't been doing things right. Just own it. Just own it. Say, we haven't been doing things right. And come before him and say, God, we want to do what is right. Maybe you're a married couple. Maybe you've had some things come into your life that you know are not of God. Come before him and do what's right. Maybe you're a married couple and you're doing it right. Celebrate this Valentine's Day. Celebrate the fact that you're just simply trying to walk with God right now and thank him for what you have. We're going to sing three songs, and as we sing these three songs, I want us to simply walk with God. I want us to connect with God. I really believe this is the most important part of the whole service, because this is an opportunity for you to respond to the things you've discovered. So I want you to do me a favor. Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to spend some time responding. Jesus, we come before you. And I ask right now, Father, that you move, that we would respond to your truth and to your grace. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.